Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. Tons of great articles and podcasts up on AmericaOutLoud.com. Thank you all for joining us tonight. We're excited for the show. We've got on journalist Angie Wong, who's going to be talking to us about her recent trip to the southern border and what she discovered while she was there. You know, it's quite obvious to me, Rob, that when President Trump came into office and had these plans to build a wall, and the Democrats seeing how popular it was to get control of our southern border, they decided to turn border security into a partisan politics issue instead of just doing the right thing for the American people. The Democrats were trying to say everything President Trump did to try and secure our border somehow made him racist or a bigot and all these other things they said about him. But in fact, what President Trump was doing was keeping the border crossings much lower than what they are now after a year of Joe Biden and his open border policies, which have just been an absolute disaster. We talk about this all the time. How can America continue to sustain all of these illegal immigrants pouring into our country, basically with open arms, is what we're seeing now. So we're really excited to hear what Angie's going to tell us about what is actually going on down there at the border, what border security is saying, and so much more. But before we get to Angie, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
Andrew, I'm doing great. I'm excited to be on tonight to speak with Angie, who has seen this firsthand by going to the southern border and witness what's happening. As I always say, it's always good to get a firsthand account as to what's happening, because right now we know that the liberal media, they like to spin their propaganda, their lies, the way they want you to see things. And it's most unfortunate, Andrew, that a lot of people in middle America are completely oblivious as to what we're saying. They're oblivious as to the threat, as to the invasion that's taken place on our southern border. Now, they will look at Ukraine and say, we've got to go there, we've got to fight, because we've got to make certain that Russia doesn't take over. I'm like, but what about our own borders? What are we doing about that? Well, they don't know about it, because fake news, CNN and MSNBC, PMSNBC, and the Washington Post, they won't report that. And then the news medias that are in those states, they're not talking about it. They're making it seem as though everything is fine. We want these people to come because they're suffering. Why can't they come? Why can't they partake in the American dream? We're not saying that they can't partake, but we are saying that there is a way to come to our country. So if you're listening out there, I would encourage all of you to share this broadcast with your friends, your families, or even people that don't know what's happening, because that's the only way we're going to wake them up. Because as we see, we're being censored. A lot of folks on the right, they're being shut down. They don't want our voices heard. And when our voices are heard, they will say, they're racist, because they don't want people coming here. They're racist. Everything is about race. And we'll talk about that. I mean, that's a completely different topic, but our borders need to be protected. They're too porous right now, and we need to shut it down. Build the wall. Trump always said, build the wall. And Andrew, interestingly enough, you have some rhinos. Yes, I'm going to call them out. Pretending as if though they're Republicans. They don't want the border wall up there. They want the wall to stay down because they want more people coming here. Why? Well, cheap labor. So why not? So they'll say one thing, oh yeah, we don't want them coming here, but behind closed doors, they have these deals that are going on and they could care nothing about it. And not only that, you have donors of the Republican Party. I'm going to call them out, like the Koch brothers. Yes, they're Republicans, but if you're going to stand for something, you need to stand for it completely. And not only when, well, this is going to benefit me. No, you need to stand for those principles, conservative principles across the board. And one of the things we need to do is build a wall and secure our borders. There is no reason why people should be walking over. Do you think I could go to Mexico and just camp out? Heck no, they would throw me out. They would kick me out. So why are we allowing them to come over? And it's just not the Mexicans. You have people from Ukraine. You have people from Afghanistan. You have people from Africa. You have people from Central America. All of them are coming across the border. How are they getting there? Who's paying for it? Well, one of the culprits is George Soros. How do you think these little camps are being built? These caravans with people wearing name brand sneakers. drinking designer bottled water. I don't see anyone who's come across that looks really poor and indigent. Well, there probably are, but a majority of the folks. And then when they get here, it's like a first-class ticket to wherever you want to go. Are we not looking and seeing this? And the damage has been done now. So they were saying in 2016 and 2020 and in 2018 that, oh, there are almost 100,000 people. I would say there are probably millions of illegals here in America. Why are they here? What are they doing? Why aren't we watching them? We're busy watching the parents at school board meetings, shutting them down because they don't want CRT, because they want their kids to take off the mask, which is another joke. Why are these people here? Why aren't we as Americans standing up? I was having a conversation with someone before I was doing the pre-work here. And they were saying, well, you know, the Republicans, they're just messing up everything. And Donald Trump, he messed this up. I'm like, look around you. High inflation. They're telling you that it's transitory. They're telling you that it's good. The food prices, supply chain problem. But yet and still, you're saying, Trump messed everything up. And what did Joe do? That is the reason why we're in this situation, because of incompetence from resident Biden. Not president, but resident. That is the reason why we are where we are. But people can't see it. They can't see it because middle America, this information has been shut down. And everyone else thinks that, oh, everything is fine. It is not fine. We're in a crisis. And then we're looking at Ukraine. Why are we at the Winter Olympics? Well, they've been training for 4 years. They deserve to go. And what about the kids who were in school for 18 years? They're missing their senior proms, or they missed their senior proms, the senior dance. They weren't able to be with their friends for their senior trips. But these kids, oh, they got to go compete. Meanwhile, the border is wide open. The media has just pivoted right over it. Nothing to see here. Don't say anything. But ha-ha, Angie went to the border. She went to the border where Kamala Harris, who's supposed to be the border czar, has not gone. You know, Andrew, I don't even know if she can find it on a map. Now here she's gallivanting again across the ocean to fulfill Joe's obligations because they're afraid if he goes, he might become a bumbling idiot, which is what he is. Look at the interview he gave during the Super Bowl. Fumbling on Ukraine, Iran, Iraq. He didn't even know which country he was talking about. And of course, Lester Holt just sat there dutifully. Well, yeah, Mr. President. Yes, Mr. President. But what about Afghanistan? How you met? Oh, no. I don't believe my intelligence officers. Yeah, but when Trump said that you guys had a conniption, he doesn't believe the intelligence officers. He doesn't believe his own military men. But Joe sat right there last night, interviewed by Lester Holt, and said that he did not believe what they were saying. Quiet as is kept. The media says nothing. They pivot right over it. But you know what? We're not going to pivot on After Dark with Robin Andrew. We're going to call them out. And they should be called out. We're going to call Kamala out. Going to Europe. And she can't go to the southern border and fulfill her job. She's going to go there and cackle and laugh and do everything else. While the border is in crisis. We're going to call them out. Every chance we get. And again, I would encourage all of you to call them out. Don't be quiet. Share this broadcast and keep sharing it. The article that Angie wrote is powerful. And I would encourage you all to read it. Because when you have our guys working with the cartel to figure out when people are coming here, we got a crisis. We have a crisis. Angie, how are you tonight?
Wow. Rob, everything you said, that was incredible. That was a great, great monologue. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, thank you so much for having me on your show. I love your show. So this is very, it's just a great kind of, you know, welcome for this article that this article started off as a Facebook post that I was just sharing with my friends. And one of my friends said, look, you should turn this into an op-ed piece. And then I sent it to my friends at the New York Post. And here we are having a conversation about this. I didn't realize how many people did not know what was going on down at the border. My own friends in journalism, news editors, they were all shocked. And I said, well, why are you shocked? You know, how come you haven't sent journalists down there? How is it that anchors at Fox News were like, this is incredible? Well, you know, why aren't you guys down there reporting this? Why aren't you, you know, just asking Border Patrol what's going on? You have journalists embedded down there, right? So I don't know. I think, I mean, obviously I'm forever grateful for Fox as well as New York Post for giving me the space to talk about this issue. But it was an incredible place to, you know, to see for myself. And I hope that all concerned citizens and journalists do go to the southern border and have a look for themselves.
Well, that's interesting because she said that even the journalist, Fox News, who has a wide reach, they can go any place. They have the resources. We're completely unaware of it. Andrew and I have been talking about it nonstop. We see it. We see what's happening. We have had candidates that are running in those districts to come on the show and talk about it. And we have reached out to Republicans and we have said, you've got to get a control on this. You have got to go there. You've got to support those candidates because there is a pivotal moment that we could bring more people in, but we have got to go and address the issue. But it takes someone like you to go there, a citizen journalist, and to witness it and then to bring back the story and to put it out there for all to consume, to make all aware of it. And again, I read the piece and it's powerful. And what I don't understand is why is it that we have so many in the news industry, they talk about it, but then they pivot. We've got to start pivoting and we've got to address these issues because like I said, the damage has been done. It's already done. How are we going to get those millions of people that are here and send them back? How are we going to find them? And as you said, Angie, you witnessed women coming here who were pregnant, could not speak English, and they're giving them a ticket, putting them on a plane, and sending them to God knows where. Talk a little bit about that, Angie.
Yeah, no, that was the most, I was there for 3 days about 2 weekends ago. And the first 2 days were very clinical and very information packed. I was with a lot of national security experts who, you know, who have made multiple trips down to the border. So I was very lucky in the sense where they shared their knowledge with me and they basically brought me to where all the hotspots were. I know that there were journalists embedded there for months, but you know, it's difficult unless you know which hole to look down. So I was very lucky to be with these advisors, national security experts. Now on the third day, that was kind of a pivotal moment for me. I was at McAllen Airport very early in the morning, and I, for the first time, saw the illegal immigrants up close. Now, up until this point, they were faceless. They were just illegal immigrants, you know, blah, you know. So when I actually got to see their faces and how exhausted they were and how slumped over they were, you know, it became a real human issue for me. I saw young girls my daughter's age, I'm talking like 10, 11 years old, heavily pregnant. And I would say I saw about a little bit more than a dozen illegal migrants coming through. And I would say half of the women were certainly heavily pregnant. The other thing I saw was that, you know, I checked into my flight to Houston from McAllen the same time they did. They had handlers. I don't know who they were, but it was very clear that they were meant to sit next to these guys until they ended up at the safe house that they're supposed to go to. I had heard that a lot of the handlers are from NGOs, government-funded NGOs, church groups, and some from the UN. Now, I'm verifying that as we speak, but it was told to me by Admiral Chuck Kubik that a lot of the funding for these flights and travel into the interior cities across America are funded by the government funded NGOs. So I walked through the checkpoints with them. I had to present my ID card, my tickets, and had, you know, my fingerprints scanned or whatnot to get across. Whereas these guys, they literally would flash a colored envelope and they would walk right through. And that, and immigration just knew, like, all right, these guys are coming through. So it was quite a contrast. But once we were there at the gate, I took some photos of everyone around me. So what it looks like is that the migrants get new clothing. It's a gray sweatshirt or a black sweatshirt, dark jeans, black sneakers, a black carry-on bag, and about a pillow-sized plastic bag worth of shelf-life food. And that is provided for them by church groups and NGOs. And then they also have blankets and also a colored folder. Now, I was able to get a few shots of the colored folder. Each color represents a different destination city. Houston, Atlanta, Newark, JFK, and other places, right? So I got a screenshot of them, and essentially it's inside because it was clear, even though it was a colored clear. You could see that they have a letter scheduled for an appointment with a deportation officer at various offices around the country with appointment dates. That's about 2 to 3 weeks from the date of departure. You had something that looked like a passport that had gold or silver embossment on it, but it wasn't a passport, it was just the same size. And then you had an airline ticket. Now, funny enough, I was boarding the plane and there were two sets of handlers. You had the individual handler, where it's like one guy to one migrant. And then you had the group handlers, which was maybe one or two people to a dozen migrants. So the single handlers, they were sitting first class on this trip. I'm going, wow. Okay. I was like, okay, this is something, there's something going on here. I was sat in the middle of the plane with about 10 girls. I sat next to one of the migrants. I couldn't communicate with her very well. But she was very friendly and she was showing me her documents, basically trying to make small talk, I guess, before she fell asleep. It's in her folder, there's a small, you know, a few sheets of paper that says, what plane do I get on? Can you help me find my gate? Something like that. And thank you very much. Like very, very basic English stuff. There was also cash in the folder, $20 bills. I don't remember how much, but I was told about $300 by somebody else. There's a prepaid Visa card. And then I wasn't certain if they were getting cell phones, but it appeared like they were getting prepaid cards for cell phones. Again, I'm not sure if that was something they had already bought or if that was something that was provided by the NGO church groups. We got on the plane. Most of them were, those were the lucky ones that got on that plane. A lot of the migrants crossing over, they don't make it. And there are awful stories at the border about how they are left behind and how they're treated on their journey up to the US border. And those are just horrific stories that I think Border Patrol has to deal with every single day. And I can understand now that the morale down at the border is just very low because the agents are working at 400% capacity. Half their staff has been cut due to vaccine requirements, early retirements and firings. All the guys down there are working super hard and they're seeing things like chopped up bodies every day. They're seeing things like babies filled with fentanyl. They're seeing things like rape trees, which I didn't even know what that was until I had to ask a few security experts what that was. And it might be too graphic to even mention on the show, but so they see this day in day out.
I'm sorry, Andrew, this is After Dark with Robin Andrew. So break it down because our listeners need to understand what you're just saying right now, describing is horrific. And people are completely unaware, again, as to what's truly happening at the border. They're understaffed. Yeah. because they're firing people because they won't take the vax, or people are retiring, or they're looking at this and saying, as they said in a Clint Eastwood movie, take this job and shove it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I will go into details. It's just, it's, well, here's the thing. Our current policies right now do not allow our Border Patrol agents to even arrest migrants. They're not allowed to touch the migrants unless they are in danger. I had seen, I was at a checkpoint in, I think it's called Reynosa, Texas. And it was, so essentially there's two walls, right? So there's the wall that's right at the border, and then there's almost a detention park before there's a second set of walls. So I was able to watch around sunset, a group of about 10 men come out of the brush and walk down the main road, a dirt road, up into the, essentially the US side. They were already on the US side, but this was like the official gate to get into the US where I was. I was talking to a Border Patrol officer, and I had just kind of on the corner of my eye saw about 10 to about 12 men walking up the dirt road. And I said, look. And so she took off in her Jeep, went over to the men. At first, she just rolled down her window, talked to them on the road. And eventually she got out. But she was not allowed to touch them. And I was actually, you know, as a female traveling by myself and watching a female officer approach 10 men, I just went, wow. But ultimately, I learned later on that she was not allowed to touch them. All she could do was direct them to the processing centers. So there was never any sort of danger for her. There was also another squad car that was, you know, just watching, I think, over them. So what I learned that was shocking to me was that, and I reported this in the New York Post article, that the Border Patrol agents arrange with the coyotes and the cartels when the drop-offs are. They have to do this mainly to ensure the safety of both the officer as well as the migrant. Because right now, because of the lack of staff and resources, this is the only way to do it safely. This is almost like a project management tactic. You know, it's not great, but they have to do it this way because there were times they said that 200 people would cross over, and they were, you know, Border Patrol was not ready to process 200 people, and they ended up working 2 days straight just to get everyone through. So again, not great, but now there is literally a phone call or some sort of communication that's made between Border Patrol and the coyotes each day to say how many men you got, or not men necessarily, how many people do you have coming over today, which checkpoint, what time. And as soon as the scenario I was just describing before, where 10 to 12 men crossed over, as soon as the men were directed to the processing center, and that the patrol cars saw that they were walking in that direction, they all took off. And I went, what? Where are they going? You know, like all four cars in that area took off, and there was no more patrol. And this is, you know, my understanding of that was that that drop off was done for the night. So they had prearranged with the coyotes, drop off three. Okay, done. Let's move on to check off drop off point four. You know, they'll just all clear out, and they lock down the area for the night, and they move on to a different area. That's how short staffed we are. And that's why we have to make these prearranged drop offs with the coyotes. So I don't, you know, if quite honestly, if this weren't a government and this was a person doing this, this would be aiding and abetting, right? This would be allowing legals to come in and prearranging all this. I'd be arrested by now if I did that. So, you know, again, I am here to fully support our Border Patrol agents. And I want, you know, but at the same time, I realize their hands are completely bound, that they have to resort to working with the cartels.
Wow, unbelievable. Sounds like a real mess down there. Angie, thank you so much for your guidance this first half. We cannot wait for the second half. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew with our special guest journalist, Angie Wong.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The American Constitution is the most magnificent document on earth. We are America Out Loud. Join us as we celebrate the genius of our founding fathers. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we are back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And if you're just now tuning in, you just missed a powerful first half of the show. We have on the show with us Angie Wong, who on her own went to the southern border to bring back to us, to share with us what's actually happening. Because as we all know, the resident VP, Kamala Harris, who was given an assignment last year to be the border czar, is yet to fulfill her obligations. She's yet to go to the southern border. Now, Andrew, I don't know if it's because she's geographically challenged or if she feels as though it's not to her liking, it's not what she thinks she should be doing, but you were given the task by the resident in chief, Joe Biden. Now, we all know that he's challenged. And he struggles, Andrew. But I would think that she would fulfill the assignment and go to the border. I mean, Andrew, can you believe this? What Angie just told us? We have our guys, it seems, working with the cartels.
Yeah, it's really shocking, that part. I can't wait to get more follow-up from Angie on that. But as far as Kamala Harris, if you asked her, she would say that she has already visited the border. You remember her brief photo op in El Paso. But like everyone was saying, that was not where the majority of the border crossings are happening. And she was there so short for such a short period of time. It's hard to believe that she actually learned anything while she was there.
You know, I doubt she was able to get her nails done within that brief period of time, or I doubt she was able to powder her nose. But she wasn't there for that. She was there to get the situation under control. Now, interestingly enough, if some of you remember, she did go back to across the border to welcome in the first female socialist president. She also went there, I think was to Honduras, to have a little exchange as to what needs to happen, but nothing ever happened as far as keeping the migrants from coming across, the illegals. We are being invaded, plain and simple. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Our country is being invaded. We have millions of people here in America that should not be here. We're giving them money, taxpayer dollars. They're on planes. They don't have to show an ID. Angie had to show an ID. She is an American citizen. She had to show an ID to get from one point to the next. Why is it that these illegals are free from doing that? Why is it that these illegals, as we've learned not too long ago, can produce a desk warrant as an ID should the need arise? Oh, here's my ID right here. I've got to show up in court. Now I can get on the plane. Here's my ID. I need government assistance. We're constantly talking about the poverty in this country. Well, I would venture to say we could wipe it out if we were to use the money that we're giving to these illegals. And why are they coming here? You have Democrats in the past who have said we need to control our borders. Run the tape.
Our immigration system is broken.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country.
The people who should be here are those who come legally.
There you have it. Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Chuck Schumer, Bill Clinton, they were all saying we need to control our borders. Why now is it not a free-for-all? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they see potential voters. They're thinking, hey, we let them in here, they'll vote Democrat. But the Hispanics that are here already, that came here legally, they're saying, no, not so fast. We don't want that. We have to come here the right way. They have to come here the right way. But Democrats aren't telling you that. They're telling you if you don't want them to come here, you're a racist. You don't like them. So they've now found a new voter block. Blacks, beware. They don't care about you anymore. You've served your purpose. They're going to dismiss you. But they know they can keep you with a carrot of racism. Whenever they say race, oh, you turn your head and you start wibbling and bobbling. Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. But what have they done for you lately? They will take these people, dump them in your neighborhoods. They will take your jobs while they're telling you, you don't want that job. What do you mean you don't want the job? You never had the job. This has got to stop. This is dividing our country. And the only thing the Democrats can say is, well, Trump, he doesn't like them. And he said some of them are they're killers and they're rapists. Look around you. What do you see? Killers and rapists. They're not all like that. I'm sure that there are some lovely people. But as far as I'm concerned, when you break the law and you come here illegally, I've got a problem with you. When you're sending children here that are being trafficked, an 8, a 10-year-old pregnant? Where's the dad? Where are the parents? And then that kid is born here. Oh, it's an American. No, slow your roll. It's not an American. That's not what the Constitution meant. We have too many people that are coming here. And yes, I'm going to say this word that many people don't like, having anchor babies, and we need to stop it. I could not go to Mexico and bring my wife and my girlfriend, and then she has a baby, and it's like, oh, well, it's a Mexican. That ain't happening. We need to wake up. We have laws on the book. It is time to follow the laws on the book. We can't keep allowing people to come here, and then the government takes care of them. But Biden doesn't care. I don't even think he knows what's happening. And if he does, ignorance is bliss. But I would venture to say he does not know, because I'm sure Susan Rice and then his chief of staff, Ron Klein, they're calling the shots. But it's a sad day when we learn that cartels are working with our people and our people are giving them money. I mean, Angie, what are people saying in your circles now that they found out? You've exposed this, that we're giving them money and that we're working with drug cartels, fentanyl, and babies. My God, when does it stop? And no one is talking about it. I'm glad you went there to expose this.
Yeah, so I'm hearing all sorts of outrage, and I want this to be a call to action for everybody. Look, it didn't take very much for me to get on a plane, to go there for a weekend, to talk to Border Patrol, to talk to national security experts. I'm a mom. I took a weekend trip. I was almost like a tourist, okay? And I was very lucky that I have a journalism background and I got info out of people. Great. I hope everyone does that. You said a lot of things in your monologue just there. And I want to break that down a little bit. Currently, it doesn't appear that there's any adjudication for any of this, right? And that is why we're going to continue opening our borders and allowing people through. I think that Joe Biden and Harris, they know exactly what's going on down there. They have national security briefings every day. So they know what's going on. It's just pure mismanagement. This is what you get when you have an administration that has never worked before outside of government. And they don't know basic skills like time management, project management, and just getting things done. So what we do see is a complete mess, but solutions are difficult because the first year was, remember, not even the first year. Remember, I think it was like the first couple of days that Biden had signed an executive order to shut down the building of Trump's wall. And that was a campaign promise he had made. He signed it within probably hours of his presidency commencing. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that when I was down there and I was there with Admiral Kubik, whose construction team is building the wall still. So they stopped Trump's wall, which was anywhere from 18 feet to 30 feet on the border. But Biden is building the Biden rail. And in the contract, it says you cannot call it a wall, it's a rail, and it's 6 feet tall. They had to do this because they realized that you do have to shut down the border. This is not, you know, this is not a game of politics. It's like, you got to shut down the border because you're getting not only the illegal migrants coming through, you have all sorts of stuff coming through, including drugs and contraband and whatever else can squeeze through, miles and miles of open border. So they are still building the wall. And he can't tell the American people that because, you know, I don't know if that is just a PR crisis, if they mention they're still building it. So he's now calling it a rail, which, you know, again, semantics, right? While we were down there, we saw a lot of construction work happening. I got to see the 18-foot steel that is in a park somewhere rusting away because they can't use the 18 footers. They can only use the 6 footers. And that was a completely brand new contract that Biden had to sign and spend more taxpaying dollars rather than using the existing materials that we've spent hundreds of millions of dollars buying. Okay, fine. We get it. He's building a rail. It's for the safety of, you know, I think that had something to do with levees, some structural engineering. He's saying everything but keeping people out. Another point that you had made in your monologue was, you know, the people coming in. You know, they're not all just young men and children and this, that, or the other. A lot of them, I had found out, were prisoners that were let out from various South American countries. It's cheaper for a prison to shut down in Honduras and have them bus all the inmates to the border and let them cross over to the US, than to continually house, feed, and take care of the prisoners for years and years and years. So we saw this in Cuba some decades ago, where they shut down the prisons and sent them over to Florida, essentially, and said, okay, go live your life. We're seeing a little, I don't know what percentage, but we're seeing some of that happen where prisons are getting shut down in South America and Central America, and they're just putting them on a bus and driving them, you know, to Mexico and dropping them off at the border. So we're getting like the best of the best people coming over here.
Trump said, he says some of them are rapists, some of them are criminals, and people balked at it. Oh no, how dare you say that? You see, this is information that we need out there, because the media, they will dance with it, they will play around with it, but we need to be made aware that these countries are really shutting down their prison systems and then busing them to our border and saying, have at it, go for it. And then they're coming across, God knows where they're ending up, God knows what they're doing. And then, like you said, some of the border patrol officers are telling you that they have seen bodies chopped up in the middle of nowhere. How did those bodies get there? Who did the chopping?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
You see, I mean, the big indicators where the vultures are. So within the detention parks, or maybe even beyond the detention parks, there are circles of big birds. And when they see that, they know exactly what's going on down there. Someone died, or there's some chopped up bodies. The worst story I heard was that they were filling kids, little kids and babies, with fentanyl, making them swallow them, putting them in their diapers, whatever, whatever. And they're just being used like a school bag and bring those stuff, you know, bring fentanyl and other drugs over. And then they don't need the babies anymore. So, you know.
Well, I remember once Kamala was questioning, I can't think of her name. She was the Homeland Security Kirsten Czar at the time. And she said, so you're telling me that we're bringing these kids here and then we're separating them from the parents? And the response was, well, we don't know if it's the parent or not. And she said, well, let's look at it this
way. Right.
When an adult commits a crime, and if they have a child, we separate them. We don't let the child go to prison with them. What don't you understand? But see, what they do is they deflect. The Democrats deflect on the main issues. They want to look at something else. And then people don't think, well, wait a minute, let me finish my thought process. Where are these kids coming from? Are these people, these adults, their parents? But they're not thinking that. And then, well, they're putting them in cages. Barack Obama started that. But we don't.
Yeah, no.
Journalists, they don't. It seems as if though they're not inquisitive like you are when you went there. Again, I would encourage all of our listeners to pick up a copy of the New York Post or go online and read this all too important story, because you need to see what your government, your taxpaying dollars are doing under the Biden administration, the Biden regime, where President Biden is at the top and Kamala Harris, God knows where she is, but she's not at the border. Maybe you should be the vice president. Maybe you should apply for that job.
You know, look, believe me, there are multiple times where it crossed my mind where I wanted to like post something on social media. Like I got here before, you know, Harris did. I restrained because I think that one of the big stories to come out of all this for me and the story that I'm following up with right now is that there are about 30 NGOs that have received government money to essentially transport migrants into the interior cities of our country, all over the place. And that journey, from what I'm told, from the time they get to the airport and they get out on the other side, they lose half the migrants, if not more, right? Because the migrants don't want to, on the other end, what's waiting for them is sometimes worse than what was back at home. When they get to their, you know, port or maybe their destination, they get picked up by a family member, quote unquote. And that family member brings them to a safe house, which is what I understand. I didn't see this part, but I understand that to be a very decrepit place. And they rent rooms for them for the entire family. It's $100 a day. Okay. And in order to secure a room, they hand over that packet of cash to their family member to kind of start the lease. Then they pay $100 a day. Bottles of water are $2 a day. A banana is a dollar, blah, 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 blah. And they keep running up the tab. And these migrants, you know, they're not going to have credit. They have no money. They don't necessarily have work yet. So they run up this tab that they can never pay off. Now, these stories are passed down. And I think that the newer crop of migrants coming through, what I saw when I left, when we disembarked the airplane from McAllen at Houston Airport, I followed a group of women into the bathroom, the nearest bathroom right off the plane. And the first thing you saw was all the colored bracelets were snipped off. Now, I was told the color bracelets for each migrant that they get is put on by the coyote, not by Border Patrol or anybody else. And each color represents something. I didn't get a clear answer if that was a destination or if they've paid or if they still need to pay. It was an indicator of something from the cartels. Then they would go into the bathroom, take off their sweatshirts and the clothing that were given to them, and they would put on casual clothing just to lose their markings, right? And because you're in an airport, that's a federal jurisdiction, I believe, right? So they haven't left the airport yet. They get lost in that airport and they leave, or they go on another plane, and then you completely lose them altogether. Now, this is something that I'm still verifying, but from what I understand, the letter that gets them past immigration at their very first checkpoint at the airport is a deportation appointment. So that, you know, the immigration officer sees that and says, okay, well, you're free to go because you're actually traveling to Atlanta to, you know, go to a processing center there. But what happens is they don't show up to their appointments, and then they get absorbed into the shadows of, you know, of, I guess, industrial life, or I don't know where they go exactly, but you never see them again. Barely. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, and I'm still working with various groups on this. Not too many people actually end up at their safe house. They go somewhere else. They have pre-made plans. And that is why when I had mentioned earlier, there are some coyotes that literally travel with their human, right? That they just brought in, and they make sure that they end up at that safe house, because that's when the money starts kicking in, right? That's when he's got to start working. That's when he's got to start paying. That's to ensure that the family back home is paying those guys back home. I mean, end to end, the only people benefiting from what is happening currently are the cartels. That's it. The American people are not benefiting. The migrants, although they're here, they're not really benefiting because they're just essentially slaves. So we're working, you know, for the cartels right now. And that to me is extremely troubling. I'm actually going to do a media trip on March 26th to 27th next month. And I'm hoping to invite as many members of the media to come with me and or anyone who wants to come and see this for themselves. And we're going to arrange a night trip, a night tour of what happens at the border. Because it's pretty frightening. You have snipers, you have like the real crossings, you have the distractors who, you know, will create a scene somewhere while, you know, another, whatever, hundreds of people come in a different port. So we're going to see all that. We have a great resource. You know, since I've been back, I've been pairing up with Veterans for America First and some other groups who have been embedded at the border for many, many months. So they know, you know, where to go and where to look. And one of them actually said to me yesterday that the cartels literally will come and cross over the line and talk to the Border Patrol like they were friends, like, hey, hi, how's it going? And then they would make arrangements like, yeah, I've got 20 guys over here. They're going to come in at 6:30 and, you know, and then they cross back.
Have a party.
Yeah, I mean, it's really that casual. One of the, well, I have not seen it with my own eyes yet, but I was told yesterday that they have a WhatsApp group, right? It's like, they're they don't care. Yeah, they just don't care. Before, it was a little bit more difficult. This was happening for a long time. Before, it was done with like, you know, light signals and other kind of quasi-military communications. Now it's just done on a WhatsApp call or text. So yeah, we've let our guards down. I would like to think that this current administration can manage it. I don't know if they can, but it's clear that something needs to happen because right now we are dealing with real terrorists, right? And we have really no solution other than to fold to their demands. If we don't do this, we're going to see more babies being dropped over the fence. We're going to see more bloodshed. You know, I get that we have to do it this way right now because it really is for the safety of everyone involved. But we should not have, this cannot be a long-term situation.
Yeah, with this current administration, you almost wonder if they care about what's going on at the border and all these awful stories we're hearing. We heard the narrative during President Trump's entire presidency that his border policies of trying to keep people and dissuade people from coming to the border were inhumane. How would you compare that to what we're seeing now from President Joe Biden? Which way do you think is more humane for these immigrants?
Well, you know, I'm not a policymaker. I love going to war zones and reporting from them. I will say that without having more knowledge on the topic, we really do have to shut these borders. And, you know, whatever administration you want to give credit or take blame for, I don't mind. We really need to close down these borders only to ensure a safer immigration process. And I think that, you know, I don't know if the timing just happened to be this way, but the same week that the article came out in the New York Post, there were five or six Congress men and women who are proposing the Dignity Act bill. It is House Rep Maria Cesar from Florida, 27, who is one of the sponsors of this bill. They want to shut down the border and they want to have a safer immigration process. So I think that things are happening. I had heard back from the Fox News producers that Ted Cruz really wants to look into the legalities of, you know, whether or not we're breaking any laws. When I say we, I mean the current administration, if they're breaking any laws that could be charged in a court. So I think there are things happening. The wall is not an impossible structure. It's actually, when you look at it, it's actually a really beautiful thing. I don't know. I'm very much into modern art. So it's actually a really beautiful structure. I know that's a strange thing to say, but it ultimately, what it does is it forces all parties to have to follow the law, right? You want to come in? Great. We'd love to have you. Here, fill out this form. Wait, you know? And I think that most Americans would agree with that, especially the new immigrants here, because guess what? They had to wait. They had to fill out the forms. They had to wait several years. They got their green cards, worked their butts off, and now they can be naturalized, right? And I know that, especially in New York City, where a lot of my friends are immigrants, they're like, that's not fair. You can't just cross over and then have free housing and free airline tickets and free food, all this stuff. There's going to have to be change. And I hope that this administration does not ignore what's happening at the border. Our journalists might be happy to handhold them, show them, you know, where the gold mines are for these journalistic stories, because I've got like a little bit of a tip. There is so much more to see and report on, and so much more to expose. And you know what? I'm going to say right here, I'm going to invite Kamala Harris to come with me on March 26th and 27th. I would give her a tour of what's going on here.
I was about to say that when you do go down on March 26th, 27th, that to give her a special invitation, make certain that she gets it, because I think she's feeling lonely. I think she's feeling left out. I think that she wants to, but she doesn't know how to. And maybe if she finds out that you, Angie, that you're competing for her job, maybe she will get down there. But this is ridiculous. You, a private citizen, is organizing this. You have gone there and you see the horror stories. And yet still, she has not gone. She's gone all over the place. And she'll probably go to Ukraine. She'll probably want to make certain that their borders are okay. Whereas our borders. Now, something that I've always wanted to ask, and I don't know if you have the answer, but maybe you have a thought on it. I know that Governor Abbott is now saying that they're putting up a wall, but what prevents these governors on these border states from putting up their own wall? Are they prohibited because of federal law? I would think they'd say, okay, well, that's your line there, but we're going to put ours here because we've got to stop this.
Yeah,
we've got to protect our people.
That's right. And they can. So even private citizens are putting up fences in their own walls, because you have to remember, there's a lot of ranchers along that strip. And these are private properties. So what I understand is that private citizens are putting up their own wall. But as soon as they put them up, how do I explain this? There are snipers. There's a whole team of people on the Mexican side looking at the US on a minute-to-minute basis. They know that if a private rancher puts up a wall or a fence or anything else, they then report that back to, I guess, you know, some commander on that side. Within hours of that wall, private wall being put up, it's torn down. There was one story of a rancher who I spoke with, who had put up a fence around her family's her compound. And she had noticed that there were like lots of people kind of congregating about 300 yards out looking at this. And as soon as the fence was put up, which was, I didn't see the fence, but she said it was a pretty hefty fence, they brought in Hummers to drive over it. So within 24 hours, she got the message, you cannot put this up. You try, we're going to knock it down. So private citizens are doing this. Of course, there's nothing stopping governors in those states from doing this. I imagine most of it would be political if they did do it. Look, I don't know the jurisdictions of those lands that where the wall, fence, rail, whatever you want to call it, is being built. I think that's a little bit out of my league. But certainly there are efforts to secure on a federal level, on a state level, as well as a private residence level. And each time that this happens, there's something that gets knocked out. So I don't know at this point how to secure this wall. I feel like we do need to do that. But remember, this is a $70 to $100 billion business for the cartels. And they're not going to want that cash flow to stop, right? And I don't know if that figure comes from just a human trafficking or if that includes the drugs that are being smuggled here. But that, I mean, you're running small countries with that kind of cash, right? So they're not going to want that to stop. And I think that's the real issue here. We need to cut off the funds as to how this money is being brought in. We need to look into the government-funded NGOs and even the church groups. You know, I don't know if I thought they were joking, but it's clearly the case now. When you're at church on Sunday and they pass around that donation basket, that $20 bill you're dropping in, you know, there's a good chance that it's going to funding the aiding and abetting happening amongst that group. I have a list of some of the charities that are doing this. I've actually spoken to someone, I forget who it was, who, I read this in an article. I think it was the Catholic Charities of Rio Grande Valley. They're one of the 30 NGOs that is helping with the bringing in the migrants, getting them cross over, and then spreading them around the country. And it was, you know, I almost see their point of view. They see this as, well, in Mexico, you know, these migrants are living in filth for months at a time. They're getting sick, and the church groups don't want to see that. So as soon as they bring them over, they bathe them, they clothe them, they give them everything to help out their basic needs. And again, I see that as a good thing. I wouldn't want to see another human being in that much pain and living in filth either. But then they go a little bit too far into bring them into the country, and I don't know what happens to them. You brought up a good point about children before. There are, and please someone fact check me on this, because again, I'm hearing this from somewhere else. There are like 30,000 missing kids that crossed over the border. Where do they go? Like, yeah, all those kids that got separated from their supposed parents or family members, where did they go? And to me, that has to be addressed. And that is something that, you know, myself as just a citizen, Jane citizen here, I don't have the resources to follow where these kids went. But as a mom, I'm freaked out. A lot of the parents who, you know, give their children to the coyotes, and sometimes they're even kidnapped to bring them across the border, they're hoping that these kids will send back paychecks and wire transfers to support the family, but they never hear from their children again. And you never see the parents because the parents are somewhere over there. So this is a really just an awful child trafficking story that I wish someone would break. I wish you guys would break it.
Yeah, we have to. We've got to have you back on. I mean, you have said a lot. And one of the things that just really stands out again is that these kids are sent here and then the parents are waiting for them to send back a paycheck. All of this is happening at our border, happening in our country. And as I mentioned, the damage has been done. Republicans, what are you going to do? You can talk all you want to. You can talk, as they say, until you turn blue in the face, but the damage has been done. We have got to get this crisis under control. We have got to decide, what are we going to do? We won't be able to take a dollar bill and say, hey, here's a dollar bill. Do you want it? Please come, and then we'll send you back. No, the damage is done. These people have now been embedded into our society. Trying to find them now and get them out, good luck. But yet still, Andrew, something has to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're so thankful for Angie for joining us tonight. Angie, I know you've got another trip coming up in March. Where's the best place people could go to keep in touch with what you're doing?
Well, you know, the best place to look at the photos that I've taken down there. And if you want to join me on this trip with a bunch of national security experts, you can go on to my Twitter, which is Angie Wong. That's my handle, A-N-G-I-E-W-O-N-G, or on Instagram, Angie S. Wong, A-N-G-I-E-S-W-O-N-G. And just send me a message there, and I'm happy to give you details for that trip.
Thank you, Angie, and thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or wherever you download your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.